Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. My name is Mike Abendroth, and I usually interview people over the phone. So I've got this little setup here. I think it's called, it's a Innkeeper 1X Digital Hybrid JK Audio, I don't know, it's some call box. The fun part about the call box is it has a drop button. So if I don't like what Phil Johnson's saying, I can just drop the phone call. But I rarely get guests besides Pastor Steve in the studio, especially all the way from the Czech Republic. And so today we have a wonderful privilege here at No Compromise Radio to have my friend Roddick here in the studio on this bright and early New England morning. Roddick Clark, welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, now, first of all, you know, I'm the typical American, and I mean, my accent isn't very good. Tell me how to say your last name, you know, in Czech.
My last name is Roddick. My last name is Kolašík. Whole name is Roddick Kolašík.
All right, great. And you are a pastor in the Czech Republic. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about the ministry there. I've been to the church, a building, and have seen you behind the scenes. What are you doing in the Czech Republic?
Well, we started 10 years ago as a youth group ministry. It's a town of 10,000 people, no Bible-believing church. So when we first got there with my wife, you know, there were a couple guys that were interested in Christianity and Bible. And they actually got saved. God regenerated them and saved them. And they were looking for somebody who would teach them Bible. And they tried the Roman Catholic Church, and they shortly realized that what's being taught from the pulpit there and what's in the Bible are two different things. So they were looking for somebody to, you know, come and teach them Bible. So me and my best friend, we came there, and we started the youth ministry, and it grew over the years. And now we have a little Bible teaching church there in the town, and we're trying to proclaim Christ and make his name glorious and known in that town.
Roddick, tell our listeners a little bit about the Czech Republic, and are most people there Roman Catholic? Are they Lutheran? Are they atheist? What's your religious background?
Yeah, well, it's really sad because it's going downhill. I think it has been said many times that Czech Republic should be like the third most atheistic country around the globe. I'm not sure if that's accurate, but I heard it many times. So a lot of atheists, when it comes to religion, the Roman Catholic religion is very heavy there, especially in the Moravian region where we live. And, you know, just a lot of people that don't believe in God. If they believe in God, it's probably Roman Catholic religion. You know, some Jehovah's Witnesses, some Mormons, and yeah, a lot of unbelievers.
Roddick, is it similar to Germany where... I think if you're not mainstream, if you're not a Lutheran, if you're not a Catholic, and you're some Baptist, or you meet at some little church, and you know there's 30 people or something, 50 people, in my mind, the Germans look at you as some kind of sect or heresy or maybe a cult or something, the weird people. Is that how people see evangelical Christians in the Czech Republic?
That's a good question. You know what? Like, I would say. I would say if you are a Baptist or if you are part of some kind of a denomination, you probably will not have that kind of a problem. Our problem when we started 10 years ago in the town of Kuřim was that, you know, we really didn't have any place to meet. So we were meeting in a car in the winter and in a woods in a summer kind of a thing before we were able to get any kind of a rental. And
you actually met in a car?
Well, that was on the beginning when it was just a couple of us. You know, I needed a place to meet with the boys and do some Bible study, and it was cold outside, and we didn't have a place, so that was the only working place for some time. But you know, like we were meeting in our living room, so back then they kind of looked at us cultish. And you know, I'm super happy that now after years, I think 4 years ago, we started renting a place right on the main street. It's right next to the pub, you know, so you have one door that leads to the pub, and then probably 2 feet away from that is a door that leads to a church, which used to be an old disco room. So I'm not sure if they, you know, if they look at us as a cult or something. We are part of the Baptist Union in the Czech, and yeah, so.
Right. If people want to go to the website, or is there a website that they can go to? Is it in Czech only? Is it English? Where would they go on the online to learn more about you?
Yeah, well, right now we have a web page,
Oh, okay, that's easy. Well, you know what? With some of the translation, web browsers and stuff like that, spell it out for us so we could go if we
Oh
needed to.
man, now you're gonna embarrass me in front of the whole nation. No,
This is a worldwide show.
it's
Well, they could just type in your name. How do you spell your last name?
Yeah, Kolarik.
That's for us people.
Caught me off guard there. No, so we have a, you know, we have a little web page, and then we have a YouTube channel. So if people look at a YouTube, there, you know, there are sermons in Czech. I'm not sure if anybody will be interested, but we have some interviews there that are in English, and we have some really interesting things there in English. So.
Okay, great. And how would you access that channel?
Go to YouTube and either try to spell my name, and you know it should find it, or try to write Christiana
Okay.
Kuzim.
And you know what we'll try to do for the show? If you send me that link, Roddick, we'll put it when we post the
Sure.
No Compromise
Great. Thank you.
show. Roddick and I met in Berlin. He was attending the EBTC, the European Biblical Training Center. Christian Andresen is there. I went to school with Christian. And you have heard here on No Compromise Radio Tomek being interviewed, and Teo, and Christian as well. And I met him, and I liked it that he wanted to be a preacher who would teach the Bible verse by verse and show people who Christ was every single week. I know the Holy Spirit, he is the one that is working behind the scenes. But from a human perspective, who did he use to get you to say, philosophy of ministry should be verse by verse preaching, and I want to talk about Christ Jesus? Who taught you that?
You know what? I would probably have to mention a couple guys. I would say, you know, people like Lance Roberts, who's a dear friend, a missionary in a Czech Republic, would be definitely one of them. He has been there for 15 years, faithful guy with his family, and he's dedicated to that kind of a preaching, and you know, that would be probably the first name that pops up to my mind. I didn't grow up in a church that would be preaching Bible verse by verse, and I think it's a phenomenal. That's what we are trying to do in our church. We believe that the Word of God is inspired. You know, every single word in the original languages, and every verse is profitable. So we don't want to miss anything. We don't want to skip anything. I don't want to be preaching about love every single week because you know that's special to my heart or whatever. We want to cover the whole counsel of God, so yeah, that's what we are doing, and I would say that probably in last 8 years, that's where we are headed, and people like Lance, Marcus, he's another great dear friend, and then a couple other pastors encouraging me in that way, so.
Great. Well, I think to myself, the way we preach flows from a view of our scripture. So if
Yeah.
we think the scripture is errant and there's some errors, or it's fallible, it could be untrustworthy, then maybe we don't talk about it all. But if it
Yeah.
is all profitable, if it is all God-breathed, then we should preach everything. And to me, the easiest way is verse by verse by
Yeah.
verse. Would you ever preach on doomsday?
I saw the sign outside of the church. Today is my doomsday. I'm honest.
I said to the congregation that Martin Luther said, I have only 2 days on my calendar. Number one, today, and number two, that day, speaking of the day of the Lord. And then after the service last Sunday, Roddick, I met a sweet young couple. They live in Boston area. They were here visiting, and they're going to get married June 6th or something. And I said, okay, we'll make an exception for you. You can have 3 days on your calendar, your wedding day, and those other 2 days. I just was reading 2 Timothy, and he talks in chapter 3 about the sacred writings that he had been taught. Paul was talking about that to Timothy, and then he called it all scripture. And then Roddick, he says, as you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word.
Yeah.
Now, you've got sacred writings, all scripture. Paul could have said, preach the sacred writings, or preach all scripture. But here he says, preach the word. Don't you think there's an aspect to that where he's focusing on preaching the word that we would think of in the beginning was the word, as Jesus Christ is called the word?
Yeah.
How important is it to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified on a regular basis and get rid of all the morality and moralistic teaching?
Now, you know what, that's the most important, you know, like I recently read a sign at my brother-in-law's house, you know, and he had a sign there that says there is a power in the name of Jesus, you know, and I know that there are different preachers that use it in the wrong way, and it's just very sad, but you know, there is a power in the name of Jesus, the power to save, the power to reconcile a sinner to a holy God. You know, I think that was the question that the reformers were asking: how can a sinner be reconciled to a holy God? And the only answer is that it's only through Jesus Christ, only through grace, only by faith. And you know, if there is any hope, it's not going to come from this world. It's not going to come from the culture. It's not going to come from my degree or whatever. It needs to come from the scriptures. It needs to come from Jesus Christ. And that's what we are trying to do as preachers every single Sunday, or whenever we have the opportunity to preach the scriptures, make Christ known, and make him, you know, glorious as he is, you know, just.
Amen. Today we're talking to Roddick here on No Compromise Radio, a friend for many years, and actually a student as well. Can you imagine I'm your professor?
I can. But you are a very nice professor.
Speaking more about Christ Jesus for a minute here, more, of course, we can talk about him for more than that. But when I watch a little kid, a little child, and his daddy loves soccer, you know, he loves football, and he has a special team. He loves a certain baseball team or something, you know, he loves this, that, or the other. I can tell his dad has spoken well of that team, and the dad likes the team, so does the son. And in a way that I don't want to make a one-to-one correspondence, but I think we should make much of Christ. Mm. When I read Hebrews chapter 1, and the Father says of the Son, chapter 1, verse 8, your throne, O God, speaking about Jesus, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And so I see the Father commending the Son, speaking well of the Son. And we are children of the Father, and we have, I don't mean a weird divine nature like some kind of weird faith people, but second, we are partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter. So I want to speak well of the Son as well.
Yeah, amen to that, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you got saved. So when I'm in the Czech Republic, I don't see churches on every corner that are proclaiming Christ Jesus, and so it just was luck and chance, and you saved yourself, right? You should have seen Roddick's face.
Uh-oh. No, I had a huge privilege to growing up in a Christian family. My grandfather was a Baptist pastor during the communism, and he was a great servant of God. You know, he didn't have any education. He didn't have any seminary education. He wanted to go to seminary, but he couldn't because just the time he was living in and the situation with a communistic country. So he was a guy who boldly proclaimed Christ. And you know, when people speak about my grandfather, they remember him as a guy who didn't need a microphone. He was behind a pulpit and he was just preaching the word. So I had a great opportunity to meet him a couple times. You know, he died when I was around 9 or 10 years old, but I have the best memories for him. Godly man, my father and mom, my mom, you know, Christ loving Christians. So I had a huge privilege to be growing up in a country that's 99% atheistic. Growing up in a Christian home, hearing the gospel, and you know, when I was 18 years old. Until then, I think I was playing a lot of games with God. You know, thinking I can go to church and you know, I can say I'm a Christian and then on the side live my own life, and so I kind of have two faces. And when I was 18 years old, somebody preached the gospel, you know, once again, and God showed me, you know, you cannot live like that. You are not number one. You cannot have your little life on a side. You need to surrender. So that's what He did in my life. He saved me. I had no part in that. And then year after that, I went to a Christian camp to be a counselor, and that's you know, I saw non-Christians come in there. I saw gospel preached to them, and I saw what God is doing in their lives. And I was just thinking, you know, I don't want to do anything else in my life than that. So that's how God brought me to ministry. That's how He immersed me in it, and ever since that's what I'm doing.
Roddick, your wife Laura is from Maine. Is
yes.
she from Maine, the United States, originally?
She would say I'm all over the place because she's from a family of an army guy, so they traveled all around. But that's where her dad has his roots in Maine. So that's where they live right now.
All right, and so you met her in the Czech Republic when
yes.
she went over as probably a short term missionary or
yeah,
something
yeah.
to serve.
Yeah, she came for a summer and she taught English. I was a counselor and I helped with a translation, and I made sure that I can be in her class and translate for her and help her with other projects during the week.
Now, see, my pride and my sense of worth now, Roddick, is hurt because this whole time when I was in the Czech Republic and you were translating for me as I was preaching, I thought I was your number one. And, you know, I know Steve Lawson has just been in the Czech Republic, and you translated for him, and I'm just very heartbroken now.
Now you should be excited, you know. You are up there, Mike. You are right
oh,
next
yeah.
to my wife. You are right next to Dr.
Oh,
Lawson.
Yeah.
And
if our listeners want to learn more about the Czech Republic, I'm thinking to myself, Roddick, we've got Jan Hus and the
oh,
Moravians.
Man, yeah.
I don't mean they hung out together, although there's some probably influence there. Tell us a little bit about Jan Hus, and many people know about Tyndale
yeah.
and Luther
yeah.
and some of the reformers. But before Luther, before Tyndale, and I say Jan Hus, I'm sure you'll have the correct pronunciation. Who is Jan Hus, and why does it matter?
Well, it matters a great deal, and if you wanna know some, I mean, if you wanna hear some great sermons and teachings, if you go to our YouTube channel, Křesťané Kuřim, or whatever, we have the Czech Shepherds Conference there, and Dr. Lawson is preaching there, so it's English and Czech, but you can learn a lot about Jan Hus there and things like that. So just in a nutshell, he was a Roman Catholic priest. He got his hands on writings of Wycliffe from England, and you know, he started reading them. He started studying them. He was actually transcribing them. He was paid to transcribe them, and that's where he saw his teachings. Salvation is by grace through faith. And so he started preaching that. He started preaching that right there in Prague. He started preaching in Czech, which was very unusual, right there in a Bethlehem chapel. He was one of the leaders of a Charles University, which was a huge, big university. And, you know, he was not fully reformed, so some people have a problem with that. But he was on the right track, and God was changing him, and he was preaching the gospel. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that. And he ran into a couple of problems. The Roman Catholic Church didn't like him for obvious reasons, preaching in Czech, preaching against indulgences and against all these things. And it went so far that they shut churches in Prague. They said, we are not going to open them unless you turn Hus in, you know, to us. And of course, if the Roman Catholic churches are closed, there's no salvation, there's no mercy, because all these things are happening in a church through the hands of priests. So there was one way how they tried, you know, for the Czech people to turn Hus in. And he would be preaching to thousands. There would be thousands and thousands of people standing, not sitting, but standing in the Bethlehem Chapel and outside of the Bethlehem Chapel just to hear him just to hear him preach in Czech. Well, long story short, the Roman Catholics had a council, or however you say that. They invited him. I'm pretty sure he knew it's a trap, but he went, just as Luther many years later went to defend himself. They didn't give him chance to defend himself. They put him to prison for a year or two or however long. He got very sick, very ill. Finally, he got in front of the council, and you know, they told him, you need to say that you recant, just as they did to Luther years later. He did not. They stripped him of his priestly clothes. They took away the priestly rites from him, and they burned him at a stake. Then they took his ashes and dumped them to the river, so Czech people would have no memory and no, you know, place to remember Hus. So he went before Luther. Luther got some of Hus's works. He got in touch with them, and I think Hus was a little spark, and Luther was on fire because of that spark. And I would just say one more thing that's really encouraging, if I may. Hus told the people that were doing this to him, because Hus actually means in English goose. So he told them, you know, you can kill the goose, but there's going to be a swan that's going to come. And back then he had no idea about Luther. It was kind of, you know, his hope. And if you go to Germany, sometimes you see a Luther, and in the background you see a swan. And that's what many people think about Luther, that he is the swan that has the goose that was burned, kind of like a predicted that's going to come.
The swan will not be silent.
And the swan's not going to be silent.
That's right. Great story. Thank you, Radek, for giving us a little bit of update on that. I want you to know that this church that I pastor and have the privilege of preaching at every week is called Bethlehem Bible Church. And I don't really like the name. On one hand, I inherited the name, and it means, you know, house of bread, Bethlehem. Mm. And so that part's nice. You know, we give them bread, and so like water and bread, we give people food, you know. But when I stood in Bethlehem Chapel in Prague, and I thought Hus was here preaching, okay, Bethlehem's not a bad name after
no.
all. So I want our listeners to know that Radek is preaching in this church in Czech Republic, and there are some American supporters and other supporters. If they wanted to support you, how would they go about doing that? Because I've seen what goes on behind the scenes. Mm. I've seen the lake where you chop the ice to go baptize people. I'm sure you have needs and resources that you'd like. How would people get in touch with you if they wanted to give American dollars to the work?
I think the best way is through an organization called Philippine Fellowship. It's a small organization that connects pastors from Eastern Europe, Czech, Romania, and Hungary. And the neat thing about it is that, you know, if your listeners are interested in supporting this way, which would be phenomenal, 100% of the donations go straight to us, so there's no fee whatsoever. You can get your tax receipts and things like that. So Philippine Fellowship, just search for them on Google, and it's going to come up, and the instructions are right there.
All right, wonderful. Well, we've only got about 2 minutes left, a minute and a half. I was gladly preaching in the Czech Republic. Radek is translating. We have a wonderful party after the concert, after the conference, and it should have been a concert too. And I eat the hazelnuts. I have the reaction, and I walk up to the bedroom because I'm having anaphylactic problems. I can't breathe. My face is swollen, and I don't know if I even knocked on the door, but I'm like, Radek, you got to get me to the hospital or something. And he looked at me and off to the hospital. What was the name of it? Was it in Brno?
It was in Brno. It was some emergency place in Brno. I think we made it in under 10 minutes. Yeah, it was pretty fast.
I was thinking to myself, Lord, I don't want to die yet, but if I have to, I have to. I've taught Radek some expository preaching principles. Now I'm teaching him how to die well.
You did a good job. I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay. Text my wife, tell her I love her, and that's it.
So on good days, I think Radek saved my life. On bad days, I think his wife tried to kill me.
You know what? If he want to kill you, it would be death. So.
See? That's right. Well, Radek Clark is on No Compromise Radio today. He's here in the States, visiting with his family, seeing his wife's family, and then back to the Czech Republic. Radek, I'm thankful for your ministry. I'm thankful that behind the scenes you just preach. Stewards are to be found faithful. And because of the Lord's work in your life, I'm glad to see that you're faithful. Thank you for your ministry.
Thank you for having me.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.